Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love Him, and He loves us. Lord, help us to do all that's in Your heart on this wonderful day that You've made. And today is Tuesday, April 26, 2022. I thank God for that. And I ask for help because God is our present help. He's always ready to help us out. And if we act like He's not there to help us out, we may not ask Him to. But He's always ready. He's always on ready. And that's how I want to be when He talks to me, when He wants me to do something. I want to be just as on ready as He is on ready. And people like to say, well, you don't know God's timing, His timing and our timing. Listen, if you need something, ask. And God will make sure you get it. And He'll do it in a way you can receive it. He's not slow about what He does. He's vigilant about what He does. The problem is, most of the time, to be honest, we're slow to respond to what He asks us to do. So, we need to get that fixed. We need to obey Him. You know, obedience, you know, one of my new definitions for obedience is prompt faithfulness. See, when you have faith activated, whatever you do from God and the revelations that we receive from Him, we receive it down deep in our hearts. It becomes a part of who we are. It's not just something we memorize. It's not just something we preach to give a good lesson, or, you know, a traditional lesson or something. This is life. If we handle it as life, then it works. And it works good, too. We don't need props and crutches. We need to listen to the Lord and act. When we act here in this realm on faith because God told us to, then heaven acts with us. See, when you believe God for something, heaven is operating with you. But if you start doubting, you turn it off. Your doubt turns things off. It's a disabler. And doubt does what it does. Doubt shouldn't exist. There's no reason ever for us to deny God. There's never a reason ever for us not to believe God's word. It shouldn't even exist. Doubt shouldn't be in God's kingdom, and it won't be. See, we're going to the new heaven and new earth. Why? The old one was corrupted with sin. There's going to be no sin in the new heaven and the new earth. And there's never going to be sin again in the new heaven and the new earth. Why? Because sin has no room in God's kingdom. He told me that years ago. And He said, there's no room for sin in My kingdom. And, you know, I tried to teach this years ago, but I got cut off. People didn't, they dressed it up. But there's no room for sin in God's kingdom. And there's no room for sin in our lives. I was just looking at the 11 scriptures. And I started with Exodus 12:15. And according to my concordance, that's the first place 11 was mentioned. But nevertheless, that was at the Passover. They couldn't eat, they had to eat unleavened bread. Why? Because God was picturing sin and giving us something we could identify with. See, leaven does the same thing as sin. It turns things into what it is. Sin turns everything that agrees with it into what it is. If even a blood-washed Christian, spirit-filled man of God, if he allows leaven in his heart, it will corrupt him and he'll become sin. That's how it is. And by choice, too. Because it changes your will. It takes away your desires for God. And it causes people, and the way the enemy is slick. A lot of Christian people, this is why Jesus had to address the Laodicean church. And that's the church at the end game. The devil didn't just turn them into atheists. He leavened them, and they tried to make God in their image, in their likeness. And they still think they're linked to God, but Jesus said they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They are the opposite of what God told Adam to do in the first place, to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. But they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They're blind because they can't see. They don't even know their condition. They approve themselves. But see, the day the rapture happens, everybody that's leavened will still be standing in their boots on the ground. But those that are unleavened will be taken. See, also, he said, if you eat anything leavened from the day of the Passover, next 7 days, you're cut off. Okay, you're cut off from the kingdom out of Israel. So if people get leavened, what is this saying to us? If we allow sin in our lives, we get cut off from the kingdom of God. But people don't like that. They don't like that because people know that people sin. And people say things they shouldn't, do things they shouldn't. Sin is here. We have to stay current. We have to repent and drive it out of our lives. You can't allow sin to remain. Sin is not something that you allow in your life. It shouldn't exist. It's not going to exist in the new heaven, new earth. And God made perfect provisions for us to get rid of it. And in case we miss something, we have a high priest. But when you know better, you must do better. Once you know it's sin, you need to do something about it. If you didn't realize it, well, you didn't realize it. But once you know better, you need to do something about it. And that's just the way it is. Now, people don't like that kind of teaching, but this is what's going to happen. Everybody that don't like that kind of teaching, when the rapture happens and they're still in their boots on the ground, they're going to be mad because somebody didn't tell them. And that's how people are. When if you see something, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. If you see a problem and you warn people, and people say, well, the preachers don't preach that way. Why are you telling me this? And they get mad because they like their sins. But see, when the worst happens, then they mad because somebody told them a lie. And the preachers that taught this, they'll be here too. I don't dress things up. The Lord said to me years ago, he said, you need to be more frank with people. And I understand how you don't want to offend people, but we're obligated to tell people the truth. And people say, well, you judge. Well, you're already judged. I'm trying to get people out of the judgment process because God's got to judge sin. That's just how it is. And so everything that's been a problem to me, my wisdom wasn't enough. And I get that. I know people say, well, I don't know how to do it. I understand that. I didn't know how to do a lot of things. But I said, I'm obligated to live like Jesus. Not for salvation, but because of salvation. And he enabled me to. And I don't want to. I'm not an ambassador of the world. I want to be an ambassador of Jesus only, of God only, of the Father only. I want to represent heaven and his will. And I don't want to go around acting like the devil, representing him. But the only reason I'm saved is because of the blood of Jesus. And because of the blood of Jesus, he made me free from the curse of the law, sin, death, and the grave. So I'm not going to choose to be in sin. And everything that I think is sin, I'm going to go to the Lord about it in prayer. And if I mess up, then God, he's faithful and just to forgive me. And I understand. I know that there's a sin of death, under death, and a sin not under death. But I don't want to do none of them. Especially the sin under death. And I don't want to do a sin that's not under death. I don't want nothing in my blind spot. So how in the world can you get rid of it and you don't even know it's there? Well, I started speaking that everything that's not like Jesus got to go. I have no taste or no desire for anything that's of the world system. Anything. Lust, greed, pride. All of it's got to go. Anything that's not of God got to go. And so, your appetites change. Anything in your blind spot, you can get rid of it too. And the Lord will help you. I say, Lord, if there's something in my blind spot, I want you to help me get it out. And I mean it every time. And I say, help me do all that's in your heart. And prepare me to do everything you want me to do. People are dying. And the Lord told me some disturbing things this week. And it's about living. Some people have allowed things, you know. The Lord told me about one person I love. He said, he'll do anything he wants. He'll do anything. And, you know, that's not good. And I love this guy. But when the rapture come, God, he can't take him to heaven. Because he said he'll do anything. He'll do anything he want to do. And he'll just do anything. But when you talk to him, he loves God. He loves Jesus. But he'll allow himself to do whatever. So, and a lot of people that way. And this leaven is a problem. They're blind to it. That's the problem with the Laodicean church. They don't know. If you study Jesus' assessment, they didn't know. They thought they approved themselves because they were increased with goods. And they had need of, their assessment was, I have need of nothing. But they got, all right, think about it this way. Their life is seeming to work. They got some objects that they like. They got a good situation, a good job, I guess, or a business. They got a house, maybe paid for, cars, nice cars, access to whatever else they want. And then they don't need anything. And they got Jesus on their terms because they don't really know him in the first place. See, there were people who, when Jesus was feeding 5,000, some of them had a satanic mind. They wanted to make a king out of Jesus on their terms. Not as the King of Kings, but the king at their will. And Jesus didn't come here to be our king on our terms. And when people follow God, they follow God on their terms. So when you tell people the truth, it exposes what's wrong with what's wrong. When you live the life of God, you don't have to go out and shout to the world. But when you honor God and you obey God and you do what the Lord say do, and you have appetite for the things of God, you're preaching a message in real time. And the people that avoid you, the reason is, you got to go to the root of the problem. If they really love the world somewhere, they're going to have a problem with the light every time, 100% of the time. If they really love the light, they're going to say, hey, I need to do better. And I've seen it both ways. Some people, their conversation changed as we commune. Because I'm doing what God said do. I seek the Lord. And I've seen people's conversations change. And they start receiving the light. Because now they have a comparison. They started seeing darkness that they didn't see before. And they come out of darkness into the light. I've seen people grow. I mean, I've seen things that's indicative of growth in their lives. And they become more dedicated to the things of God. Whereas before they were more neutral. See, the life of God encourages the life of God. And everybody who really want to do it God's way, when they see the display, they want in on it. But people that harden their heart, they make sure that they avoid the light at all costs. When people want Jesus on their terms and they want, but they make sure they avoid the light. Any representative of God, they make sure they have nothing to do with it. It's not an accident, folks. And then some people, you know, they're doing all right. They're staying out of trouble. They're not really trying to learn everything of God, but they still appreciate salvation and they walk the line. They live for God. You get people that way too. They're scarcely saved, but they're still saved. They just do enough. They take care of their children. They take care of the house halfway, but they don't go out and do nothing crazy, and they're not trying to. And they got enough sense to know that just salvation is not marked by the things you own and possessions, and they know they still need Jesus, and they maintain their salvation. That's all they're doing. They're not working for God. They're not out pushing the king. They're not fighting the good fight of faith, but they're not getting in trouble either. They're kind of like the people in Acts when Paul said, just don't commit fornication or eat the things off of the idols. And there was one more. He told them three things to do. Then some people are weak that way. But they're covenant people and God loves them. And I love them too. But see, when we must live enough light to expose all darkness in all forms before it's too late, so that they can either choose it or not. Now, Jesus said that the word works like leaven. Sin works like leaven, and the word works like leaven. But sin is corrosive leaven. It turns things into sin. System by system, it destroys your appetite for the Lord to the point that you start avoiding the light. It gets bigger and bigger. It swells in your heart till you become sin, an advocate for it. And this happens on a personal level, a neighborhood level, a city, county, regional level, state level, even a country, even a continent. Because sometimes a continent has different countries in it. If it starts, the only way to stop it is the blood of Jesus and the life of God and the word of God. You have to hear enough word of God so that you can drive this stuff away from you. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, he said, another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was leavened. Now, the leaven of God is not corrosive. How does the leaven of God work? If you treasure the word and you read it, that word is embraced by you. It's like if you could see your heart having arms, you embrace the word of God and hold on to it. That's what you do in your heart. That's the good soul heart. Then the word grows roots. And then when it grows those roots, you walk in a greater glory of light. And then the word of God enlightens you to greater things. And it enables you to receive more of God's word. And the process never stops. But your will is involved. See, the word, the Lord gives you an offering. A fruit. And you pick it and you eat it. And then you're enabled to understand more. And you pick it and you eat it. And you understand more. Every time he gives you to know him, he interacts with you. He doesn't make you do it. He don't drive you to it. It's a love thing. Your love does the work of embracing the word of God. And letting it grow roots and then applying the word of God. That's why we're fruitful. Our heart is changed. All the sin is gone. Now people like to say, and it sounds good on paper, but I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Actually, when you're born again, you were a sinner. Now you're a child of God. And you're saved by grace. And the reason people say, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace is because as a baby child of God, there are still things in your mind that shouldn't be. Your Christian walk is wobbly, but your heart is clean. You can't be considered a sinner anymore because you don't sin from the heart. And if you do sin, it's mostly from the mind or the body. But the heart don't want to do those things. And all you have to do is fill your heart with the word and you'll be able to stand like a man, like a grown man of God over time. But you're still born again. And you fill your heart. And a lot of baby Christians, they love God so much that their love makes the difference. And their love keeps them out of trouble. But they're still in a dirty world and people see them trying to do right and they try to trip them up too. So the sin comes as an attack. But it's against their will. And there's a big difference. A person can sin willingly and they can fall unwillingly. They can sin unwillingly. Somebody might tease them and make them mad and then they say something. But if you look at it, they were reluctant to go down that path. And they're always quick to repent because they're trying to represent God. But see, we learn not to use our own strength. We learn to use His over time. If you just came out of the world, then you got to unlearn some things. And that takes time. But you're still not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner and you are saved by grace. And God is working with you. You're a child of God now. And the Lord is also our high priest. See, he think of everything. And he prays for us. And we're priests and kings just like him. So we pray for each other. Those that are strong help those that are weak always. But see, people that love the Lord and they're endeavoring to do things God's way, that's what they do as a way of life. If you're on a job and one brother you know is weak or the sister is weak and you're strong in the Lord at this point in your life or strong enough to help somebody, then when you see things going wrong, you protect them. When you see people teasing people, you tell Satan to stop it. You know, that's what I did. And I know that's what you'll do too. Because the enemy is trying to trip people up. And you pray for people's strength. That's what we do. We're the same body. And they're going to be a great or man or woman of God over time. Because every child of God is important to God. And everybody has their own gift, ministry, calling, whatever God want to give them. As they can receive it, he will. But the godly leaven works with your will. It introduces you to something better, and then you receive it because you love God. But the leaven of darkness is slick. It comes in unaware. A little peeping of the eye, a little taste here, the unchecked desires. You know, And see, you can't fight Satan if you think like him. In agreement, if you agree with something, and this is all throughout the Word of God. If they love something in the world, and they had to fight it, they fought sloppy. If they hated the problem, and they loved God, they fought God, and they fought and won, and God was with them. Now, how can God be with you if you're not in full agreement? Okay, you go into battle with the Ammonites, but you think like the Ammonites. You laugh at their jokes. You think what they do is cool. How are you going to fight them? You're in love with them. But you're fighting them because you're supposed to. But your heart is not in it. But when you love God and you're protecting the covenant, You're standing. You love the nation of Israel. You love the mission of God, the call of God, the purpose of God. then you fight like David. See, David wasn't double-minded when he fought Goliath. That's why he could win. And God was with him. Because every act of faith he did, God was with him to back him up. The Lord helped him do it. But David used his muscles, his strength, his wit. He didn't miss. Because he was fighting in the name of the Lord and the Lord was with him. Then he took Goliath's sword and cut his own head off. Cut his head off with his own sword. Because he was fully committed. When Elisha told the king, I forgot the king's name. He said, open the window. Shoot the arrow. And he shot 3 times. Elisha said, you should have shot the ground 5 or 6 times. You're only going to have 3 victories against Syria. But if you had shot 5 or 6 times, they would have been defeated. So now, the day came Isaiah had to write chapter 17 about Damascus. Damascus survived. And it's going to be a problem in the end times, which it is now. There's a civil war right now in Syria. And it's going to drag the world into it. And, you can't fight Satan and to win in victory if you agree with him. Even if as you rebuke the devil that's bothering you, got to hate that sin. You got to hate that leaven process. It's attacking you. It's changing your appetite against God. It's what it's doing. It's turning you into sin itself. And God's going to get the new heaven and new earth will not have sin in it. Daniel said that would be an end of sin. And sin of itself can't do anything. It's dormant. It has to have a host. Whether it's an angel, a man, or a demon. The demons are the hybrids. They were once giants. The offspring of angels and earth women. Or angels and people. And not only people. Angels and beast. Yeah, they had them too. Even insects. Crazy. How do you know this stuff? Well, I read the book of Enoch. and Enoch explained it all. But is it viable? I believe it. Yes, it is. Because Enoch, I tell you why. I know for a fact the book of Enoch is real. He prophesied the rise and fall of every king of Israel. All the way to Jesus. All the way to the return. And see, I know the Jewish mind left it out because he pointed to Christ. And the worldly mind left it out because it's too accurate. But Jude referred to it, giving us a clue where to look. If you really want to know what happened and understand what you're fighting. See, in the beginning, sex was not a problem among men. Lust and sex, that was not a problem. And men and women were, especially in those days, were very beautiful people that the angels took interest. But sex was not a problem until the giants came. And I got this clue. I love to listen to Steve Quayle. God gifted him. This is not flattery. God gifted him, showed him things that people in the brainwashed church won't do. He'll deal with things that the brainwashed church won't deal with. And we needed him. We need people like that. And God raised him up. The day he got saved, God showed him this vision. And he talks about it. If you follow his teaching, you know. And the Lord have him dealing with things that's just unpopular among the brainwashed. And I say the brainwashed church because our education system, our religious system, and our science system, Satan interfered with it. Now, there are people that rise up, study the word, and come and break through it. We always have to break through the brainwash. But God gave it to Steve Quayle. And he said this. He said, lust is the desire of demons on people, or it's the passion of demons on people. See, the Lord told me last night, the reason demons couldn't be saved, because the angels tried to save them. That did. The fallen angels wanted their children to be included in God's kingdom, and wanting God to make a way of redemption for them. And they really wanted this to happen. They tried to get Enoch to go and petition God on this. And the Lord said, no, they're not going to be saved. And the Lord explained to me why. This is why. The evil angels bred them against Jesus. They were bred to mess up the gene pool of man. They tried to make everybody a hybrid so that Jesus couldn't come. And they were vicious. They introduced bloodlust, sex lust, pride in every form. Things that people didn't gravitate to. They lived to be 500 years and then they die, and their spirits roam the earth. They're called evil spirits. This is where your evil thoughts come from. This is what causes a healthy man to start desiring men as a companion instead of a woman. Unnatural. This is what caused women to desire women over the men as a companion. Homosexual, illicit sex. And it goes unchecked. And then you got people advocating for it, that we hate them. No, they're listening to spirits they can't see. And they need the light of God's word to break through it, because it's dangerous. It will turn you into what it is. Consider these things, but the love of God gives you light so you can break through it. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your lives. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you.